Hello, everyone. Welcome to or welcome back to the Perfectly Imperfect podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Minnie, and thank you so much for listening and spending some time with me today. If you're a new listener, welcome. Thank you for clicking on this episode. I'm so beyond grateful that you're here. And if you are a longtime listener, equally grateful that you're here. Thanks for showing up again. Today's episode has taken me a little bit to record, and I think it's because a little quick life update. A couple weeks ago, I was very, very sick, and I think I got the flu. I don't know exactly if it was the flu or what it was, but your girl was out and couldn't stand up, and I was horizontal for about 3 days straight, and it just took literally everything out of me. I watched probably 10 movies, 7 movies maybe, in the span of 3 days. My wonderful boyfriend came to take care of me, cooked me dinner, so I wasn't alone, but that kind of really put a jolt into what was feeling like a really good routine that I was getting into beginning of 2025, coming into January. I kind of had this energy to build a new routine, start going to bed earlier, kind of incorporate a little more movement, and just, I don't know, I felt that like winter slump kind of fading away. And then boom, I got sick, and it kind of brought it back with full force. And then I went into this really low mental slump after I got sick. And so I was sort of recovered, but then mentally I was so low still. So I just feel like I couldn't do anything. I was also on my period, so maybe that played a part. But I feel like I'm unfortunately still in a bit of my winter funk, my winter slump, but I've been trying to implement the things that I talked about in that podcast episode a few episodes ago where I talked about getting through your winter funk. I've been trying to take my own advice, honestly, and just really try to do the things that make me feel better and are self-care for me. But if you know what being in a mental slump feels like, or sort of a creative rut or burnout or anything like that, you probably know that it's really difficult to do the things that you know will help you. I don't know why that happens, but I feel like when you're feeling so low, the good things don't feel good anymore. And that's really hard to deal with because you want to feel better. I feel like every human, when you're feeling low, you want to feel better. You want to find ways to feel good again. But when the things that usually make you feel good don't feel good anymore, I don't know, personally, that's where I get most anxious and I most feel in a slump, because it feels like, okay, well, no matter what I do, I'm going to feel negative, I'm going to feel low, I'm going to remain in this slump. I've been reminding myself that these are waves, these are phases. I was sick, yeah, that wasn't ideal, and then I hit some really mental low slump, again, not ideal, but I will come out of it. And it will pass. And so I've just been reminding myself all of those things. So if you resonate or you feel like you're in a similar situation, maybe you got sick too this winter. I know something's going around. Just remind yourself that it is a phase and it will pass. And you will feel more positive and you will feel better again. Keep reminding yourself and trust that. So speaking of trust, I want to talk all about that in today's episode. And it's something that I've been honestly thinking about a lot the past month or so, like all of January, because in therapy, through the help of my therapist, I have come to realize that I lack a lot of self-trust. I've known that I've lacked a lot of self-love, and that's something I'm really building, but the trust in myself just also isn't there. And that's been really, really hard to acknowledge and accept and kind of peel back the layers as to why I'm struggling to trust myself. And so I just want to talk about that on today's podcast episode. I want to be open. I want to be raw. I want to be real that like I don't have all the answers. And like I just said, I'm on a healing journey myself. I'm learning to navigate my 20s and my almost mid-20s, and I'm working on building the trust, the confidence, the love in myself. And I don't know, part of me doesn't want to record an episode on this because I don't feel like I have concrete answers to give you all, to be like, do this and you will gain self-trust. But that's also just not life. And I feel like learning to celebrate the process and celebrate the journey and celebrate that we're all trying and we're all growing together is equally, if not more, important. And that's something I'm learning and trying to focus on a lot more, and finding joy in the process rather than just achieving the end goal of, you know, checking off, I have self-trust, checking off, I have self-love. That's great and all, but I feel like if you don't enjoy the process, the end goal is not going to be nearly as rewarding as you might be hoping it will be. So that's a big, big lesson I've learned in the last few years, honestly, is just enjoying the journey is so much more rewarding. Yes, it's harder in the moment and it's kind of harder to take note of the little wins along the way sometimes, at least it is for me, but focusing on the journey and kind of not losing sight of the end goal, but not letting it be a focal point has enabled me to really remain in tune with myself. Because I feel like when I was so focused on the end goal, let's use self-trust for example, if I'm so focused on just gaining self-trust, then I won't really be able to remain in tune with myself along that journey to gaining self-trust, and I won't know what self-trust looks like to me and what it makes me feel. If I'm just so focused on the end goal, you lose sight of all of that, and the process is really the most important part. And that's something I'm reminding myself and reminding you, just to find joy in the process, count the wins along the way, and this podcast is kind of my way of doing that for myself. And I'm so glad that you all can listen and be a part of this journey with me. And we can all count our wins and all learn to enjoy the process along the way, because we're all learning and growing together. And I think that's such a beautiful thing. I feel like I went on a bit of a tangent there, but basically I want to talk about self-trust and ways that I'm actively working on building self-trust for myself. And it also is in response to one of you guys' questions. I do have a question Google form. I will link it in the show notes below, or if you're watching this on YouTube, it'll be in the description below. But it's called Ask Jenny. It's an Ask Jenny Google form. And I'm trying to do more Ask Jenny episodes, just answering a bunch of your questions. But I saw this specific question and I was like, I have to make an episode on that. It's something I was thinking about anyway. And so it felt like a sign. And so the question reads, in a recent episode, you mentioned struggling with anxiety around how you use your time post-grad. I graduated this December and I'm already feeling anxious about how to best use all this new time that's been freed up now that I'm done with school. Do you have any advice or reframes for this anxiety? What tips do you have for feeling confident in how we use our time and coping with guilt, regret, or other negative emotions that come up when I don't use my time, quote, wisely? This resonated with me so much because I don't know if I would say I'm like still in the threshold of like recent post-grad. I guess I graduated like almost 2 years ago. So yeah, I guess I'm still post-grad, but very much in the swing and the routine of adult life and life without school. To say it's been a transition would be an understatement. It's been a huge transition and a transition I'm definitely still learning to navigate and grow through. So I totally feel you with this question, and your anxieties and your emotions and your feelings are 100% valid. This is not an easy thing, and no one can really prep you for what life is like post-grad. Sure, you can learn how to do a job interview, you can learn how to manage your finances, you can, you know, learn the technical things, but the emotional side, no one can prep you for how you're going to feel once all that structure is stripped away from you, because every person's experience is so different. And that's the beautiful thing of adulthood and life overall. But it's also a really, really hard thing, because when you're feeling some kind of way, not everyone around you is necessarily feeling the exact same way. And so it can feel really isolating and it can feel really alone. And I think that's honestly how I'm feeling a bit right now. I find things difficult. I find things emotional that people around me don't. And I know I'm not alone in it, but definitely also living alone, I think, is playing a factor as well. I don't necessarily want roommates, but at times I'm like, yeah, it is just really me here navigating this. And I have friends and family that I know are just a phone call away, which I'm so grateful for. And my boyfriend's in the city, so I know I'm not alone, but I get it. And it can feel isolating. So you are valid in these feelings and these worries. But I want to talk through some tips and some things that I've personally been trying to implement in the last few months, in the last year since graduating. Again, there are things I'm working on. I don't have all the answers, but through therapy as well, these things have been really, really helping, and they are recommendations from my therapist as well. So that's been helping me, and hopefully it'll help you too. So to start with my first tip for building this self-trust and kind of finding confidence in yourself and how you spend your time is to, one, I mean, this is probably the hardest one, but it is to acknowledge and sit with your discomfort. This is a huge thing I've been working on in therapy, honestly, and it's not an easy thing to do at all. And I feel like you've probably heard the saying, feel your feelings a million times. And while I do really resonate with that, and I think it is really important to feel your feelings, I think there's a level deeper that personally I'm working to go to of just sitting and allowing the discomfort to exist. Maybe I'm the only one who has seen or like understood feel your feelings in this way, but I kind of have always seen it as like, okay, feel your feelings, cry, do what you need to do, and then move on and kind of move away from the discomfort. But I'm realizing my flaws in that, and I think in the process of viewing it in that way and trying to move on from my discomfort, I've been invalidating and sort of unconsciously bottling up the discomfort and the emotions and not giving them space to just exist and be. And I haven't allowed myself to build the skills to actually be able to exist and feel the discomfort. And so I don't know if this is making sense, but I'm working on kind of letting them coexist together and knowing that I can feel uncomfortable and I can continue with my day. I can feel uncomfortable and I can still show up for my boyfriend. I can feel discomfort and I can still X. And I feel like for my whole life, honestly, I've tried to separate the two and be like, okay, this is discomfort time. I'm feeling it. And now when I move away from discomfort, I don't feel discomfort at all anymore. And like looking at it like that, it's just purely a black and white mindset. It's an all or nothing thinking. And I know that's the way my brain works and my perfectionism wants it to be that way. It wants it to be able to categorize this time as discomfort time, feel your feelings time, and then moving on, we don't feel discomfort anymore. We feel great. Let's get going. But life just isn't like that. Life is not black and white. Life is not all or nothing. Life is full of gray areas. And so I feel like the true key to self-trust and happiness and self-confidence is learning how you can exist in that gray area and learning how you can feel discomfort, but still do what you need to do. And it's learning how to feel discomfort and honor your needs and how you can help yourself through and challenge the mindset of quote unquote fixing your discomfort or getting rid of your discomfort and instead switch it to, well, how can I make this manageable? How can I manage this discomfort? How can I exist with this discomfort? And what is this discomfort teaching me or trying to share with me that maybe it's a need that I'm lacking right now, or it's a boundary that's been crossed, or something in your environment just isn't aligning with you, or, you know, it's breaking your values. So I've been trying to view discomfort in this way as kind of a lesson or some sort of something trying to tell me something rather than something that I just am trying to get rid of and get away from as quickly as possible. So that is my first big tip for kind of building self-trust and self-confidence. Again, I'm still actively working on it myself, and sure, the process of it is very uncomfortable because you're just letting your discomfort be with you. And I'm not really looking for solutions. I'm trying to challenge the narrative of wanting to fix it, which, yeah, it just means you're uncomfortable because you're giving space to your discomfort. But I know long term, the more I'm doing this, the more I'm building the skills to live in that gray area and navigate my life with this discomfort and building a set of tools of how to manage it. So yeah, that is my first big tip. I know it's like not an easy one, but working on that has honestly changed my life, I think, forever.
Have you ever felt like your body is trying to tell you something, but you just can't figure out what? Maybe your energy crashes out of nowhere, your mood is all over the place, or no matter how well you take care of yourself, you just still feel off. I know I've been there. And for the longest time, I thought it was just stress or bad sleep, but what I've learned after being on my own hormone balancing journey this past year is that a lot of these symptoms are often tied to our hormones. This is where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz designed to help you uncover the root cause of your symptoms. After taking the quiz, you get a personalized recommendation to help get your your body back in balance. When I took the quiz, one of the recommendations I got was to start taking Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is an herbal formula supplement that fine-tunes the hormonal system and is used by women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. Using only science-backed ingredients, they offer a range of products designed to help you feel like yourself again. Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your hormonal issues. For a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code PIPOD at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PIPOD, P-I-P-O-D, for 15% off today.
My second tip for building self-trust and confidence in yourself is kind of something I mentioned in the beginning part of this episode, but it is to count your wins and just really take note of the things that do work for you and do feel aligned with you. This is something I'm constantly reminding myself of. I feel like my brain so quickly fixates on what doesn't work for me, what I don't like, what I'm not good at, what I'm scared of. Those are all the things like at the forefront all the time, which I don't really know how to change that. And, you know, going back to the first point, maybe I shouldn't fixate on trying to fix that or get rid of that. But instead, I'm just trying to add more positives and add more moments of recognizing my wins to just hopefully balance out the scale. That scale visual is actually something I literally talked about in therapy this week. And she kind of helped me visualize negative and positive energy, or like wins and losses, rather than in kind of like two separate columns, viewing them as all together on a scale. And so when I'm feeling really low, when I'm feeling really negative, visualizing that side of the scale is being weighed down helps imply that you can add positives to help balance out the scale. And it's supposed to kind of help you, or it does help me, visualize my highs and lows in this way. So it's takes the focus away from trying to get rid of the negatives, but instead it puts the focus on adding positives to balance it out. Sometimes the negatives are not going to go away, and it's really difficult to just wish them away and push them away. Again, back to the first point, allowing that weighted downside of negative low energy to exist is learning to sit with the discomfort. It's learning to live in that gray area. But then it's also recognizing that you can do something about it by adding more positives. So maybe that's calling a loved one and talking about it. Maybe it's going and getting your favorite coffee from your coffee shop, or getting a cookie, getting a sweet treat that you enjoy, or maybe it's giving your partner a hug, like just anything that will add to that other side of the scale to then hopefully balance it out a little bit more. Doing that is at least balancing out a little bit and adding a bit more positive to your life. Even if you can't get rid of any of the negative, it's still balancing it out a little bit more. That visual really, really helped me. So hopefully it can help you. And I feel like that just visually represents what counting your wins can do for you in the long run, and just focusing on what can you add to your life, what positives can you bring to your life, rather than always fixating on how to get rid of the negatives. Because if you can't get rid of the negatives, and then you're spending all your time trying to get rid of the negatives, you're not spending time adding positives. So the weigh scale is still just going to be really far down on the negative side. I don't know if that made sense at all, but hopefully you catch what I'm saying. My third tip to building self-trust and self-confidence, something again that I'm actively working on, is similar to point two, but it is to recognize your strengths and recognize or even make a physical list of the things that you do feel confident in. And it may be quite small. You may not feel like you have a lot of strengths if you are feeling really low in confidence or coming out of school and you don't know really what you want to do and you don't really feel inspired by a lot. You may not feel like you have a lot of strengths, but even just starting with one thing on that list is getting the ball rolling. This is something I have been really reflecting on a lot the last like 6 months or so. I came to the realization that I have kind of been doing what's expected of me a little bit, maybe a lot of it, since graduating college. And I haven't really made a lot of autonomous decisions. Like, I have made decisions for myself, and, you know, the life I have is a life that I'm building, and I know it's not just like being handed to me, or I'm not, you know, fully getting swayed by others' opinions. But as much as I say that, I feel like a lot of ways I am swayed by a lot of opinions of my family, of my friends, of people on social media. Like, all of it feels really crowded and chaotic and foggy a lot of the time. And so I've really been trying to kind of streamline my strengths, my goals, what do I actually feel confident in, and really try to put blinders up to what other people are good at and what other people enjoy and how other people are finding success and where others feel confident. Because that outside noise and what others are doing, even if it is someone you love and respect so deeply, they are not you at the end of the day. They don't live your life. They don't live in your brain and in your body every single day. So you have to recognize what you feel your strengths are and what you feel confident in, because that's something that no one can actually give you and tell you what it is. So then moving on to my fourth point for building self-trust and self-confidence. Again, another thing I'm actively working on, and I kind of mentioned it as well at the beginning of this episode, but it is to allow yourself to show up imperfectly and be seen trying new things. I know this is so scary, like I said that out loud and I was like, ooh, don't like that, but it's so important. And I feel like the more I'm actively trying to lean into showing up imperfectly and allowing myself to not necessarily feel 100% ready or prepared for things all the time. Sure, it's really anxiety inducing and not the most relaxing thing ever, but it's proving to myself that I can trust myself to get through a situation, a day, a meetup, a call, a conference, an interview, whatever it may be that you don't necessarily feel ready for. Just allowing yourself to show up imperfectly is going to help you build the self-trust that, okay, I can get through these things even if I don't feel ready. I can get through these things even if I don't feel confident or, you know, don't have full belief in myself. Just doing it and taking that first step, that's the hardest part. And then just letting yourself kind of live through, try to be as in tune with yourself as you can throughout the process, and you will face the other end. You have made it through all of your hardest days. You're listening to this podcast episode. You're here with me right now. And that just proves that you've made it through all of your hardest days. So who's to say you won't make it through the next hard day? So one, that is something to count the wins of and be so incredibly proud of yourself for. You've made it this far and you've gotten through the hard days. And again, I'm speaking to you, but I'm also speaking to myself. I want to work on counting the wins that I've made it this far and I've gotten through the things that I don't necessarily feel like I was ready or prepared for, but that's something I can count as a win and I can work towards building in my self-trust. I also talked about this on my new Substack page, which I have been loving that platform. I'm really trying to lean into more of the long-form content this year, and I have seen Substack and like heard about it, but I never really like got into it. And I'm also not a big reader or writer at all. I kind of despised English class in high school. So when I thought about a Substack and I was like, I'm not a writer, like I don't read books, like this is not the place for me. But then to combat that, I was like, no, we don't have to abide by those black and white thinking, like you are a writer or you're not, or Substack is for you or it's not. It can be whatever I want it to be because it's mine. And so I actively challenged myself to show up imperfectly. I didn't know what I wanted to write. I didn't know what I wanted to show up as on that platform. And yes, I'm not gonna lie, I did spend probably like 4 hours writing and rewriting my first article, but also writing and rewriting my about section, because I was trying to like label and define myself on this platform. And then eventually I was like, Jenny, just let it go. Just allow yourself to show up imperfectly. And then that sparked the title for one of my first posts on Substack. And I talked about how showing up imperfectly is so scary and it can be overwhelming. And as someone with perfectionism and kind of has had all these internal boxes and labels in my head my entire life, showing up imperfectly and kind of breaking down all those boxes and ripping off all the labels is extremely overwhelming and anxiety inducing, but it is the path I'm wanting to take, and it's the path that's allowing me to grow. So if you want to read more on that, I will also link the Substack down below in the show notes or the description. That was a little side tangent, but basically this point was inspired by me starting the Substack and writing that post about showing up imperfectly and how it is scary and it's overwhelming, but I feel like it's a key part to building self-trust and building self-confidence, because you're showing yourself that you don't have to be prepared, you don't have to have all the boxes checked, you don't have to feel perfect in order to show up. You're still worthy of showing up, you're still deserving of showing up, even if everything doesn't feel so clean and organized. So then moving on to my last tip for building self-trust and self-confidence is a very, very, very important one, and one that I'm also working to implement into kind of my thought processes and mindsets as well. And that is to ask yourself, what do I think and how do I feel? And this reminder came to me, honestly, while listening to a podcast episode of the Psychology of Your 20s podcast. I forget what episode it was, but she was talking about asking yourself, what do you think? I think it was on the episode of how to not worry about the opinions of others, or how to stop worrying about others' opinions, or something like that. And one of her points was this point exactly. It was to ask yourself, what do I think? And she also had this sort of visualization of circles, which I really, really like. And it's just something that really, really resonated with me. Maybe it'll resonate with all of you, or maybe you've actually listened to that episode as well. But big shout out to that podcast, because I listen to that all the time. And if you're looking for another podcast to listen to, definitely go check that one out. But anyway, she had this visual of circles, and that, you know, the widest circle is maybe like acquaintances and people, you know, not super important in your life. And then the next circle is friends. The next circle inward is family. And the next circle inward is maybe like very close family, best friends, partners, people that you love and, you know, are really in your close circles. And then the innermost circle, but the most important circle, is you. And this is regarding like the hierarchy of the opinions of others and what you should take into consideration when maybe making new decisions or anything like that. But the key takeaway is that the inner circle, the most important one, is just you. At the end of the day, it's just you who will be affected by this decision and will have to live with this decision, or whatever you're kind of weighing the opinions of. So you have to be okay with it. And I feel like that's kind of obvious, because if you're making a decision or you're making a choice or you're trying to weigh certain options, of course you're the only one who really lives with it. But it is so easy to get caught up in others' opinions, especially in that kind of second circle of people closest to you, loved ones, family, really close friends, partners. It's so easy, and speaking from the I perspective here, it's so easy for me to weigh their opinions above my own, especially in moments where I feel a lack of self-trust and I'm struggling to know what I want, because I love them and I respect them so much and they know me so well. I'm like, okay, well, they know me really well, so what they're saying is valid and I should, you know, take it into consideration, or maybe not even just consideration, I'll take it as my truth. But the big red flag there is I forgot to ask, how do I feel and what do I think? And so that's something I'm really trying to work and into my practice. Whenever I'm asking people's opinions or asking for help or needing support, I'm trying to just ask myself first, well, what do I think? What do I need? And how do I feel? And I've come to realize that because I'm coming from a bit of a lack of self-trust right now and I'm learning and growing more in this journey, sometimes I don't have an answer to that question. Sometimes I really don't know how I feel, or my feelings feel so confusing and overwhelming that I can't really put it into words. And so therefore talking to someone else is really helpful, because I'm able to put it into words and start to formulate how I feel. But because I don't really have that strong foundation of how I felt prior, whatever they say and whatever opinions or advice they place, I take really deeply, and I kind of internalize and sort of make myself believe that that's what I should be feeling or thinking or doing. I don't know. It's a really complicated thing, but I feel like just getting to the practice of asking yourself, what do you think? What do you feel? And really trying to take that as priority over the opinions of others. And this isn't to say to like fully isolate yourself and not ask for help and not reach out and not get opinions of others. I think there is so much power in asking for help and leaning on people when you need help and asking their opinions and talking through decisions, especially big life decisions. But at the end of the day, if you want to work and build your self-confidence and your self-trust, it has to be an answer, and the end decision has to be something that you are okay with and that you feel like good with. So yeah, that's been a big thing that I've been working on, and I feel like the more I'm doing it, I kind of feel my self-trust and my self-confidence building, because I'm like, oh yeah, like I feel so empowered right now. I'm making this decision for me and I feel 100% with it. So just trying to ground myself and make sure that I'm 100% in on the decisions and the choices that I make, and really trying to take what people say with a grain of salt and take it as their opinion and that's their lived experience. But at the end of the day, it has to be okay with me and it has to make me feel, you know, okay. So those are my 5 tips that I have come up with in response to this question, and just when I thought about putting together an episode on self-trust. Again, I don't have all the answers, and I'm on this journey as well, so I'm so open to hearing how you guys are navigating this situation if you're on a similar journey and wanting to grow your self-confidence and grow your self-trust. Feel free to leave a comment on the podcast episode or send me a DM. Or you can find the podcast Instagram as well. Send me a DM over there. I love connecting with you all and communicating with you all as well. And I would love to hear your thoughts on this episode. And with that, I'm going to wrap it up. Thank you again for being here. I'm so grateful for every single one of you. And I'll catch you in the next episode.